Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
Well, welcome back to Coast. George Norrie with you, occult specialist Sal Santoro back with us, co-owner of The Crooked Path. Now that's a leading traditional witchcraft store in the Los Angeles area. Sal's 35 plus years experience in all things magic has led him to become one of the go-to sources for demystifying the misunderstood craft. Sal continues to strive to make the occult accessible and inclusive to all of those who seek it out. Sal Santoro, back on Coast to Coast. Hey, Sal, how have you been?
George, how have you been, sir? Good to hear from you.
You too, my friend. What's new with you? What's new?
So much is new. Something's going on, you know? Things moving on. Time's moving on. The store is doing really good. Actually, it was kind of neat because Patty Negri was just on your show not too long ago.
That's right.
And I was like, oh, tell him I said hi, so... I love her. She's like my sister. She's a very, very good person. Great, great person.
How did you get into this a long time ago?
I get into the occult. I mean, it started in New England. And, well, I mean, I graduated high school in 82. So it probably started around 79. And, you know, it was me and my friends in the woods in the pre-internet days of New Hampshire. And we were trying to find out information on it. You know, I mean, we're in New England. And there really wasn't much out there then. And I got my first witchcraft book, which was Mastering Witchcraft by Paul Hewson, who is still with us today. He's about 80 years old now. It was just a really great starter book, and that put me on the path. And from there, I started reading Crowley and just kept moving on through. And when I got to California, I found my first cousin in Long Beach at Eye of the Cat.
Uh-huh. Thank God you weren't in Salem, Massachusetts, right?
Yeah, you know, Salem, I was just talking to somebody, one of my students about that actually earlier today. You know, when I was a kid in New England, it wasn't like Witchcraft Row there. It wasn't like that. You know, it became very trendy in the last 15 years.
Right.
Where all those stores just lined the streets, but it was not like that at all.
Is tourism pretty big in Salem?
Now, yes, but New England, I mean, of course, you'd go to the House of Seven Gables, you'd see some of the early politicians' homes and, you know, people of that nature, you know, but that was what it was about. And then, of course, you know, we had the one Laurie Cabot store, and she had the official Witch of Salem going on, and she held that for years, and she did really good with it, you know.
Oh, that's fantastic. And since we last spoke, which I can't believe it was already 2 years ago.
2 years before just, COVID, wasn't it?
Yeah. And we're right in the middle of it.
Actually, you're right. It was in the middle of the beginning of it, right?
So you've been doing a lot of things since?
I have. I mean, a lot's been going on. I've further developed the coven that I run out of the store. I've reached now, I think I've taught my 10 weeks to witchcraft. I've taught about, we're thinking about 500 people at this point, pretty
wow.
Somewhere in there. People love the course, and I just had class tonight, and this present class was on the second to last class of the series, and we were just reminiscing about that. But yeah, so we've been teaching, going to Greece. You know, I go to Greece every year with Popey, of course, and enjoying Crete because it's like my favorite place in the world. This year started out weird. My mother passed away.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it was really weird. She was 96 years old.
That's a good run, though. Mine's 94, you know?
94, bless her. You know, and just, you're never ready to lose your mom.
No,
It was hard. But this past weekend, I flew to Florida, and I celebrated my father's 100th birthday.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and he was a bombardier on the B-24. In World War II.
See, my father was a World War II veteran. I lost him when he was 88. He would have been 100 years old this February.
The same age. That is amazing. They're the same age, yeah. My dad was in the 8th Air Corps, you know, and then he totally did the ball bearing runs over Germany.
My dad was in Germany, the Battle of the Bulge.
Wow.
I wonder if they knew each other.
You know, you wonder. My dad was stationed in England.
I don't know. I don't think my dad... Well, he may have come from the England area when they shipped him overseas.
Yeah. See, my dad was in the...
He didn't like to talk about the war too much. So.
Neither did mine. My father was very much not that guy. You always heard people, you know, you always get those different people that love talking about it. My father, I mean, what I got from him, the first thing was... When he was finished, they offered him his service revolver. They offered him all the stuff. He just took it to the end of the line and gave it back to them. He's like, I want nothing to do with it now. I did my time. I'm done. And he walked away.
There was a Greek goddess by the name of, was it the Hecate?
Hecate.
Hecate.
Yeah, my goddess. Yeah, for sure.
Same one. How did you unravel her?
Well, Hecate, you know, I'd always known about her. She has always, you know, been a prevalent word in the occult. And, I mean, Shakespeare even mentions her in Macbeth. He doesn't do her very good justice, though. He kind of makes her look like an old crone when actually she was, like, actually technically...
Made her look like Medusa, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, Medusa is a Gorgon, which would be a correlative and a relation, almost conflation to Hecate, which is an aspect. The Hecate Gorgon, or the Gorgon aspect of Hecate.
Uh-huh.
But Hecate, I found when I went to Greece, and, you know, I've been a practitioner all these years, but I never worked with a deity or an entity. It was always just Ptolemaic scale planetary magic. And when I was there, she came, and she made it very obvious. And once I got home and I had, you know, interaction with her in the occult world, she gave me missions, and one of them was to open the store and open up a temple to her, which we have succeeded in doing. Right now we're trying to make it the first official temple of Hecate in Southern California.
And your wife's Greek, isn't she?
Yes, she is. She's very much a Greek woman, yes. Yep, Greek-Canadian, as she likes to say.
Well, that helps.
Yeah, but that's where it came from, and Hecate is... She's my breath. She changed my life.
Does she come to you in a dream state? How does she come to you?
Well, initially she came, you know, like I wasn't expecting it. We were literally home like not even 2 days. And it was like an image that was like right over the side of my bed. And that's how she first came to me. And after that, it started becoming a lot stronger, and then I started learning more about her, and I studied different backgrounds. I mean, there's some really great authors on Hecate. There's a big resurgence for her right now. So she's becoming a goddess that a lot of people know about. She's even mentioned on TV shows now. Like, she was just in an episode of White Lotus, that show that was just out.
Yeah.
And they mention her in it. These two girls mention her, worshiping her in the moonlight. But, you know, it's just because she, in pop culture, she's found her way back in. And it's amazing because she's the mother of the crossroads, you know. She was conflated later with Isis in Egypt. And she's one of those proto-deities, you know, that's just older than old.
Was she a witch or a goddess?
Well, she was definitely a deity. She was a titan. She was pre-Olympian.
She was like Zeus.
But she was more titanic. And she fought with Zeus to put the rest of the titans down so the Olympus gods could reign. And because of that, Zeus was so...
Well, you know your Greek mythology, my
friend. Oh, yeah, I have to. Because I teach it and I share it, and, I you know, it's my blood now. But, you know, when Zeus saw what she did, he basically gave her the three realms, which is the Uranic realm and the Chthonic realm, which is the underworld, and the Horizontic, or the Earth realm. And that's why sometimes when you see Hecate, she is depicted as three. And it's not because she's a maiden mother crone. It's actually because she is all three of the realms of our life. But she's always been young. But then when Shakespeare got a hold of her, he turned her into this aspect that was crone-like. And that spurred her into being a darker goddess. So she was very much the dark aspect, but she was never aged until much later.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Parrot Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
There's a lot of pros to drinking Health Aid kombucha. No cons that I can think of. Pro, amazing taste. Pro, pairs well with anything. Pro, probiotic. That's a literal pro. And it's deliciously refreshing. It's the perfect pairing to your meal or great on its own, whether you're having Pink Lady Apple, Berry Lemonade, or one of the other great flavors. It's the perfect swap for soda or alcohol. Make it part of your daily routine. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid Kombucha today.
Would you say, Sal, that the interest in the occult has grown over the last few years?
Incredibly much. I mean, it's kind of like trends, George. It's kind of, you know, like how we see, you know, rock and roll come and go. You know what I mean? You see changes in it. Same thing with fashion. And like when you look at punk rock in the 70s and the resurgence in the 90s and, you know, how it moves through. The occult is like that. There's always going to be people that want another answer and that a more of an independent choice, more way of looking things from another sight. And not all occult has to deal with spirituality. You know, you can have spirituality involved in your occultism, okay? And, you know, that word occult, to most people, they get it confused, almost conflated, with cult. But anybody that understands it, they know that occult means to be hidden from view because it was arcane knowledge that was kept from view to the masses for so many years. And that's where occultism comes from the ocular aspect, right? Occult. And but most people now see that as cult, and they think of like the negatives, which are what Manson did in the 60s, you know? And so that associates them by the name, I think.
Does that bother you that people think the occult is evil?
I mean, yes and no. I don't think things, and I don't think anything should be necessarily deemed as evil or good. There is good and bad in everything, as we know, you know. And when you look at magic, you have to look at it, and I say magic with a K, as in causing change with will by using the elements and the planets. Okay, when you're dealing in that aspect, it's up to the individual to utilize what they're doing for one reason or another. Now, we can't deem what's bad or what's good for anybody else but ourselves, because we're all free thinking and we have our own views, right? And we want to hope for the best out of people, and which is, I think, what we've always done since the beginning of time, is to look at the best in people, to know that these things are here. And I think that's why people fear it, because, you know, they associate it with kind of like cheating or mainlining into something where they don't have to go through maybe a deity to get to it. They can take on the responsibility of causing change with will themselves.
How much of it includes learning about magic?
A lot of it. Well, when you think about magic, when we use that word, there's so many different versions of what that
right.
means.
And you spell yours with a K.
Well, with a no. K at times. I mean, so usually when K is put in at the end of the word magic, it usually is a notation that connects you more with the ceremonial aspects of magic.
Right.
People like Aleister Crowley, the Golden Dawn, the OTO, these were mystery schools that came off of the Masonic lodges and the Rosicrucian systems, right? And around 1860, that's when all that started. And Crowley developed the K to keep it separate from prestidigitation.
That's a good point. And it does. It sticks out.
Yeah, it totally does. And people are like, oh, with a K, you know. But a lot of people that are into low magic and witchcraft, they don't want to really use that, because there's some people in the occult realms that don't necessarily agree with Crowley's views. And that's okay, because everybody has a belief in what they want. There's no right or wrong there. But so they stay away from the K aspect. And but when you think of that, the magic with a K, what you're usually discussing has to do a lot with Kabbalah, you know, the tree of life, planetary magic. So more working with the idea of harmonizing with the supernals on the tree of life and communing with Keter, which is basically the emanation and the whirrings of the beginnings of all life and creation.
How did magic evolve into sleight of hand in terms of things
that
like that?
That is something I don't know how to cross that over. That's not something I have a definite answer on. But I believe that from what I can assess, is because of the mystery of it. I think that came a lot in the 1800s, because when the Industrial Age was born and Industrial Revolution was coming up, this is when the first mystery schools were coming together, and people like Blavatsky were involved, and a lot of these esoteric theosophical orders. But with also a time for people that were into like table tilting or tarot card reading or speaking with their family members that have passed away. And that always had a mysticism about it. And so I think that kind of lumped into like the whole, you know, Swami kind of vision of what they thought was a person that could tell the future. And it was also trickery and smoke and mirrors, more so, crossed into that.
We're talking with Sal Santoro about witchcraft and, of course, about the magic with M-A-G-I-C-K.
Yep.
We'll take your calls next hour with him right here on Coast to Coast. It's truly remarkable. You know, people like David Copperfield.
Oh, I love him.
Chris Angel. They're magicians, and they're good ones, and they're mentalists. But where would they fit in today with what you do?
I would be absolutely beside myself if I got to meet like David Blaine or any of those guys.
Really?
They're skilled. I mean, those guys are so prestidigitation. I mean, getting to go to the Magic Castle and watching that is amazing.
You know Brandon Scott?
I don't know.
The next time you're at the Magic Castle, ask for him. He's a great magician.
Okay. You know, and see, like, that's all beautiful work. And it just shows you how the mind works against the movement of hand and the illusion. I think illusion plays a lot into that. But magic itself, like what I'm doing, is not illusion. It's causing change on the material plane to get a result so you can go to attain something that you are looking for in the microcosm in your life.
Absolutely. I mean, is it magic if you go to wish for a better career, a relationship, a job, and you get it?
That's, you know, wishing is, you know, the word wish can be construed almost as a slight version of spellcraft, you know, wishing. This is also, on the other hand, what is opposite from a wish? A curse.
That's right.
You know, most curses that though we know, you know, like I grew up in an Italian home back east, you know what I mean? And everybody in my block wore a Malocchia and a St. Christopher medal, you know what I mean? And a crucifix. And I was one of those kids, you know, but we were brought up to wear that because evil eye was envy. And, you know, when I was a little boy in Massachusetts, my Aunt Angie used to make me wear a big red ribbon on my, whatever I wore when I went out, to avert the evil eye, because that was considered not a good thing to have energetically, right? So that would be like a curse.
Where were you born, Sal?
I was actually born in Whittier, but I was raised in Boston.
You were. My mother was raised in Fitchburg.
No way.
Yeah, 50 miles west of Boston.
Yeah, my mother is from Walpole.
Oh, very close.
Yeah, very close. And my dad's from Somerville.
And then my cousins were from Leominster and Worcester and everything, all over the place.
I know Leominster very well. Yeah, and Lynn. And yeah, that was my teenage years.
I got to, after the break, I'll tell you a funny story about Fitchburg, which was somewhat magical.
Really?
And maybe you can tell me what you think happened after I tell you that. You've got your coven going.
Yeah.
And it's growing?
It is growing.
What does a coven do?
So a coven is a gathering of people that follow the same theosophical and philosophical system. And they come together and they celebrate much like people would gather or convene in a church. In this case, it's a very spiritually moving thing. Most groups work with the agricultural wheel of the year. In neo-paganism, this is where we get spring, summer, winter, fall. And in old pagan Europe, you know, this is where you're dealing with the Beltane and the Samhain, Samhain would be Halloween, and the Beltane would be like the birthing of spring. And then you've got your winter solstice and your summer solstice.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
With dozens of streaming services, box office films, and content to choose from, people are spending over 2.5 years of their lives searching for what to watch. But The Hollywood Reporter brings you THR Charts, one place for you, your family, and friends to find the most watched TV shows and movies every week. THR Charts is a guide to help you spend less time scrolling through platforms so that you can spend more time watching and binging the content everyone is talking about, all supported by data and trusted sources like Nielsen, Comscore, and Paired Analytics. Check out THR Charts on HollywoodReporter.com.
There's two kinds of people in the world, people who love Health Aid kombucha and people who have never tried it. The bubbly mix of probiotic tea and refreshing juice is delicious and good for your gut health, with great flavors to choose from that you can't help but love. If you've never tried it before, maybe try a bottle or can of passion fruit tangerine or ginger lemon. Your taste buds and your gut will thank you. Look for the brown bottle with an anchor on it and try Health Aid kombucha today.
Health Aid kombucha.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.